This episode of The Voiceover Social
is supported by Black Cat Music,
the only UK distributor of Studio Bricks booths.
Get 15% off
with the secret password
VO Social Podcasts.
Well, you look so wonderful. Look at your beautiful hair.
Oh, I love it. I just want to stroke it.
It's really shiny. And you're wearing a bright yellow cardigan, which makes
everything
look wonderful.
I've got my responsible adult t-shirt on.
Oh, yes, that's helpful. So people know to come to you in an emergency.
Oh, I hope not. Well, I'm going to take it off.
Nick, I've lost my debit card. Nick, my child has eaten all the chocolate.
That one I can help with. As in, here, have some more chocolate. I've got spare.
Great. Excellent. Oh, you are a responsible adult.
Oh.
That is good to know. All right, so let's talk about social media. I have got an idea of how to do this. This is what I think we should do. Let's talk, first of all, about how we each individually use the different platforms for social media.
Yep.
And then, so this is how I see Nick. I see her as begins with a P, where you're building a wooden house out in the Wild West. Pioneering.
That is what I'm doing. I'm building a house in the Wild West.
And I am like dithering around still trying to work out how to use any of it in a way that is sensible and reasonable. And so let's talk about how we individually use the different platforms. And then I'm going to ask you some questions about how you do it.
Okay.
Because I genuinely think that what you're doing could be described as like best practice.
Yeah.
So that's what I think.
Probably not quite pioneering, but like, because lots of other people are doing it. But I've picked up quite a lot along the way.
I think it's pioneering. This is why I think it's pioneering, and I think that your listener, you will understand by the time we get to the end why it is. And that's it's because you're not doing anything in a way that is pretendy.
Mm-hmm.
You're being really real and really interesting and useful, I think, as well.
Oh, good.
Using social media just as a way of like connecting with people.
Mm.
And I think that lots of people who use social media for their brand or their business aren't doing it with that end game necessarily.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's like stumbling people or making them use it in a way that I don't think is great.
Yeah.
And that's just me personally.
You know,
but anyway, this is the situation with. Go on. I keep just talking. You can do some talking.
I think I was jumping onto the second bit, but I was just going to say, being anything other than me, completely honestly, when you have to show up so much on social media, is exhausting.
Yes.
I can't do that.
I
can't lie for that long.
No. Okay, so this is how I use social media.
Okay.
I love Twitter. I love it with all of my heart. Mm. I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
I understand about like using the right words and picking an image and trying to be interesting and useful to people and surrounding yourself with other Twitter users, like voiceover Twitter. I love you guys and the other things that I do. Like there's a Twitter for everybody, and I just love that. I love it and I understand it. I'm a very unvisually creative person, and so I find Instagram quite challenging. Like I can't generate a visual image to represent the thing that I'm trying to say. I can just say it in words. So that's something that I find like massively blockery. Like, so for somebody who uses words a lot, I'm not sure I'm doing that,
that
well. But we'll see.
Brilliant.
How I get
that
on.
Was brilliant. That was really brilliant.
Blockery is too blockery for me. And then LinkedIn, like, oh my God, it's so dry. Let me switch it off. And Facebook, I am furious at Facebook. I find the algorithm like my personal nemesis. Why is it that people who have joined the Voiceover Social Podcast Facebook group do not see the things that we post in the Voiceover Social Podcast Facebook group? People have joined the group because they want to see the things. Show them.
Mark Zuckerberg, if you're listening, can you just sort that out for us, please? Because it's not
fair.
Did
you call him Zuckerberg?
I think you did.
Is that just my
headphones? Yeah, I think you did, yeah. It's because I've just had a sandwich, so my mouth is tired.
Oh, I thought maybe it was a bird sandwich, but no.
Mag took a bird. Anyway.
Yeah, so these, that's how I use social media. I use Twitter. And that's the end of the sentence, really.
What happened there was you said you like Twitter and then you got irate about all the other social medias and then you asked me what I think.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
I use social media for work. Is that all I need to say?
No, but like, do you use all of the platforms for all of the same things?
Essentially, yes, because ultimately, like with all marketing, social media is this really amazing, if you use it right, free way. All it costs you is your time. Granted, often that's a lot of time. Of spreading your message, reaching your audience, all that kind of stuff. So I will say this till the day is long. I would not be on social media anymore if it wasn't so necessary for my work. I just wouldn't do it. I don't know why anyone's on it, just for other reasons. Maybe if I'd started on it, maybe if it was a different world, I would understand why it's nice to just follow people because it's nice to follow people. But not at the moment. If I follow someone that's not work-related, it's just clogging things up for me. So I just unfollow them. I am a voice professional, by the way. We're doing really badly with words today, Leah.
Blockery and following.
And Mark's upper dird. Flallowing. Okay, so I use Twitter for engaging in conversation, sharing ideas, sharing articles, making connections. I use Facebook as a front for my business, so I've got a page on there.
That does make it sound like you've got some sort of extremely dodgy business going on in the back room, by the way. It's a front. What else are you doing?
I am laundering Watsits.
Laundering Watsits. Excellent.
That's very it, guys. Talk to me if you need some more Watsits, okay? I know a guy. I know a guy. So I use a front for my business, as in a shop front, is what I should have said, not like some kind of facade. 'Tis a real business.
Great.
But also as a space for my community. Big up the Voice and Accent Hub. Holla!
Oh, yeah.
Which has been revolutionary for my business. I also use it to connect with and get support from fellow colleagues. So there are some useful groups on there you can go to for rates, advice and that kind of thing. I also use it to for like business training and that kind of thing. There's loads of resources out there which are free. I mean, there's always a sell. There's always a sell. But there is always a lot of people have a free section of something. So that's part of my business. I use Instagram as a, well, visual. It's like behind the scenes. It's get to know me a bit more on a public level rather than in the group, which is a bit more of a like community space. So Instagram is like, this is me. This is what it's like if you work with me. If you hire me as a voiceover, this is the sort of energy you'll get. This is the sort of work I do. This is what I've done today. I'm doing this week course. Maybe if you want to come on that, that's nice. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, this is our podcast. That kind of thing. And I use LinkedIn more now than I was because the thing I don't like about LinkedIn is the user interface feels so complicated and unintuitive to me. There's so much to it, and I think that's just lack of knowledge from my side. I've done some LinkedIn training recently and I'm starting to repurpose a load of stuff from all my other socials to get in there and kind of like try and use it a bit more regularly. But one thing I was always scared of was the fact that I'd look like some old feckin' agent on LinkedIn amongst all these business people, right? Because it is a bit like, where's my tie? Just going to do a LinkedIn post.
Here's me doing a PowerPoint.
Here, I'm very, very, very important and very serious about my work. When actually, there's no point me doing that because that's not what it's like to work with me. So I had this amazing training with a woman called Emma Van Heusen, I think her name is. And she was like, you can just be you. You don't have to be all like serious. There's no point. If your brand isn't serious, then there's no point doing that. You just have to, gotta do you, babes. So now I'm just doing me all over LinkedIn.
Great.
Also, LinkedIn's really good for in voiceover for me, for like radio client contacts for voiceover, corporate clients for voiceover. Twitter's good for like indie gaming, all that kind of stuff. That's what you hear a lot of.
Okay. And so given that we have quite a different approach to social media, it's been quite interesting sort of working out the voice of the podcast on social media, hasn't it? Because, I mean, we've never got around to actually making a voiceover social podcast Instagram, although, like, that's the plan at some point, because obviously there is plenty of content that we could put out through Instagram only that would be nice. And there are people that just don't use Twitter, aren't there? So it'd be nice to be able to find our lovely people, our VO socialites on Instagram. But, like, I know that when we first started out writing tweets, you were, like, Irishing around in the tweets.
What? Me?
You did, and I remember, and I was like, I think so because I'm not Irish, and we need to just have one actual voice that's just us for the podcast and Twitter, and so we need to be less Irish, and which was really mean of me, come to think of it. I don't know if
Stop
I feel the same way
trying
anymore.
trying to suppress my Irish heritage. How rude.
That's right. Awful, awful. I think at the time I was thinking, let's make it so that people interact with our Twitter, then they're interacting with the podcast as opposed to interacting with either one of us. But now I don't really think it matters. I think it's okay for like it to be clear that one of us is tweeting, and if it just so happens that it's clear they can tell that, that's fine. And I know that certainly I found myself using words that I know that you would use to try and sort of blur the lines a bit.
Are you pretending to be me on Twitter?
Yeah, I know, but you're just so wonderful. and also, I know I've seen you use all capitalized words to blur the lines as well. I've seen it happen, so I think that's quite exciting.
Something along the lines of hydrated.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Warm up.
That's where we're at with the Twitter. But it has been quite challenging because I know that, like, I'm a bit like, oh, I don't know about that. Is that too much? Maybe we shouldn't do that. And you're like, come on, just give the information. Share the podcast. Share it, Leah.
Well, the thing is, one of the stats I picked up, and it's probably changed since I picked it up, but is that only 3% of your followers on any platform will see anything you post at any one time. Mm. Like, each platform has a different lifespan in terms each your post has a different lifespan on each platform. So how quickly do you scroll through Twitter?
So quickly.
So if you don't happen to scroll when someone that you follow is posting a thing, you're probably going to miss it. And it's the same on, like, Instagram is slightly different because people are more likely to look at a curated grid, and a grid is more, most of the time, that's where all your posts go, like the little squares. Most of the time they're done in a way that people put stuff up they want to save. You know, if you're doing it the way it's intended, you're putting stuff up there that is what they would call in business land evergreen. So it's not going to date or go off. That's not business, that's food.
Moldy Instagram.
Moldy Instagram. Hashtag moldy. So, you know, I'm not going to put something on there that's like, come on this course, because eventually the course will be over.
Yeah.
What I'm doing is, here's a tongue twister, here's a voice exercise, here's a silly reel of my day, here's my latest podcast episode, here's our latest podcast episode, here's a nice view, which in some way links to voice or breath or something. So each platform has a different lifespan, is the point. So yeah, what you were saying about it feels too much is that you have to do it within the realms of obviously what you're comfortable with. But also, not as many people see things as you think.
3%. Yeah, gosh. Well, let's go back a bit then, because talking about voices of social media, do you think that you sort of were born into the world of social media with your voice fully formed? Or do you think that it's something that you've had to like develop and work on to get to be as real as you think you can be? Have you gone from more real to less real, or less real to more real, or is there a different path that you followed?
Well, when I first started on social media, I think it was in my comedy days, like when I first properly started using it. I think it, because a lot of the stuff that comes up on TimeHop for me on Facebook is like, do you want to come to my gig? Please come to my gig. So I think that was when I first started using it to reach people, and that was a particular voice. That was me, Nick, doing stand-up. Now, I think finding a voice ultimately comes with finding confidence and belief in what you have to offer out there. So if I was out there trying to convince people I was a mechanic, I'd probably not sound as authentic and not be as comfortable doing that. But because I'm out there going, now having a load of years of coaching under my belt and lots of experience and lots of training and lots of social proof that I know what I'm doing, and all that kind of stuff, and the community and the podcast, I feel like I know what I have to offer. I feel confident that it is fully me. I also feel confident that it's useful to people, and I genuinely want people to find it. So all of that kind of smushes together, I think, to give me what is my authentic online voice, because like I genuinely feel really passionate about what I do and I genuinely want to get it out to people. So there is ultimately no lying involved. So I think I was authentic. I was real at the start of my social media use when it was stand up, because I just really passionately wanted people to come to my gigs because yes. I needed them to come. And then as voiceover came in, and that's what's interesting about Time Hop, you see how all your content has changed over a wee while. I see less and less about, you know, pictures of a dog and nonsense about handsome men or whatever happened to be talked about in my youth.
Who were you talking about in Time Hop? Who was the handsome man that you were talking about in your youth? What was your man of choice? Who?
I'm pretty sure it was... I definitely at one point Googled man who plays Superman topless.
Great. I used to think that the guy who played Earl in My Name is Earl was very fetching with his big moustache.
I totally see that in you.
Very handsome.
Yeah. So I'm sorry to anybody who's offended by my Googling of that man topless.
Superman.
It was only to make a joke about it on Facebook. Because I was pregnant at the time and I was trying to distract myself from being pregnant or something like that. It was a silly joke. Right. Anyway, I didn't save that image for future use.
Would you say that you adjust how you communicate according to the different platforms? Like, is there different types of content that work better on different platforms, and how do you plan all that out?
Only in so much as... there are certain limitations with certain platforms in terms of what you can put, and different trends in how users interact with certain socials, and different algorithm rules. I don't change anything I do because I think a certain thing works better on LinkedIn or Facebook. It might for certain businesses, right. But like I said, for me, like, my business voice is my business voice. And if there's someone on LinkedIn who wants a bit of my crack in their organized... Oh, that's bad. That sounded really bad. Sorry. You can't put that in.
I think it was crack that made me crack down on the Irishisms and Twitter.
Yeah, that was what it was. I do use it a lot.
Come on now.
So if there's somebody on LinkedIn who wants a bit of what I have to offer and the way I do corporate presentation, voice training or whatever, then they'll find me and they'll want it. I don't do the whole there are certain people on one platform and certain people on the other, although I know that for some people that seems to work well. My changes come, like, obviously Twitter, you can't have as many characters, so you gotta be more succinct and to the point. Instagram's all about the images, so you gotta think about the image first and the caption comes second-ish. I mean, there's probably many Instagram people who would disagree with that, but the point is people are only going to read the caption if they like the image, so the image has to be arresting and stop people from scrolling. In LinkedIn, the algorithm likes it when people hang around longer on your post, so if you space out your text and you have a couple of questions and a few paragraphs and something that's a little bit more story based, I mean, not like 10,000 words, but, you know, something that's slightly longer, then LinkedIn knows that someone's spent a little time reading it, and that helps. So that's the sort of change for me. It's nothing to do with the voice that I'm putting out or the people I'm trying to reach from my point of view, because my target market is my target market.
So you mentioned about the algorithm in LinkedIn liking longer posts, and you mentioned about algorithms generally affecting how many people actually see what you post. But is there anything else that you know about algorithms as they stand at the moment that people should be aware of?
Let me see, because I will just preface this with, I am not a social media trainer or expert. Right. This is just stuff I've picked up from courses I've done and actually learning from other social media experts who are on social media, which is another good reason to be on there. So algorithms generally like pictures and images and all that kind of stuff over text. So, for example, on Facebook, I think it goes something like, in order, videos, faces, images, GIFs, emojis, boring words.
Right, okay, in order of priority, so videos is top there. Did you say something once to me about lives being even higher than that?
Yeah, live content that is native to the platform. So doing a Facebook Live will get you bumped up the algorithm, like something interesting's happening. So that's a good one. Yeah, thanks for the reminder. So what you got to think about is, I mean, ultimately, all social media comes down to is, how do you stop someone scrolling? How do you stop the scroll? Yeah, yeah. And that's going to be something that breaks a visual pattern. And that is something that is interesting or different, which is usually imagery in some way. Mm. So in general, with algorithms, engagement and conversation is one of the big things. So people commenting on your post and you responding is huge. What is encouraged, although it feels a bit cringe sometimes, I know. We've had this conversation before. Yeah. Like asking questions and trying to engage.
What's your favourite? Blah, blah, blah.
I've been in the booth recording. What's your favourite cheese?
It's true that that's something that I find quite excruciating to see. It started happening on Instagram quite a lot a little while ago. A booth selfie, a big paragraph of chat underneath, and at the end, like, what are you up to today? Or what's your favourite day of the week for recording, or like some sort of banal question at the bottom of the post, and very rarely was there much interaction underneath that, because one, people have got to get all the way down the reading of the post comp thing words that you said underneath the picture to get to the question, and then also that question is like, it's vague and meaningless. So actually getting people to engage has got to be about more than just asking a question, hasn't it?
Yeah,
it's about
absolutely.
Like getting people engaged in like your whole thing in general before you even get to the point that you're asking the question.
And engagement isn't just questions, you know, it's if you put something up that somebody feels they want to share with other people, or they want to share with their followers, or on Instagram, if they want to save it to a collection, for example, that's supposed to be pretty useful. People sharing your stuff to their stories, all that kind of thing. So it's not just about asking questions.
Instagram has gone way beyond my understanding as a person. Like sharing things to your stories, I think I understand that, because sometimes people tag me in their stories and I press share to my stories, which means that I'm flooding anybody who follows me with other people's content that they have shared with me, that I've shared to my stories, that I don't even really know what it is. I'm just pressing share now to everyone. So I think probably I need to address that. I'm not sure. And then also, what was the other thing you just said?
That's okay. No, hang on. I know this episode isn't about convincing you why social media is good, but like one of the things that you have to think about is someone's tagged you in something, and depending on how you use your Instagram, that's really useful social proof for your followers that someone has found your content interesting. So if it happens with the podcast, doesn't it? Someone will be listening to the podcast walk, and they'll be like, having a walk, listening to Nick and Leah, whoop, whoop. And we're like, yay, we're in your ears. And they'll post it and they'll tag us. So that's, if you share that to your story, if there's someone who follows you.
I can't work out how to write on that picture.
Okay, we can sort this out.
Yeah, we'll talk about it in the next. Yeah. But yes, but that's
right.
Good.
Get out your phone.
Anyway, thanks to everyone who's tagged me. Get out of your phone. How do you switch it on? but then, and then you mentioned something about collections, which that's the bit that's just tipped me over into the, oh my god.
Leah, you will love collections, because one of my collections is just recipes. So basically, if you click like save, and it comes up with like save to collection, it's like little files of posts that you want to go back to. It's really useful.
Oh, that's nice.
So for example, somebody might save a tongue twister that I put up in a collection called Voice Warm-Ups, for example.
Mm-hmm. And so then can other people access those collections?
They're private.
Okay,
but what that shows Instagram is that I've posted something that someone feels is valuable enough to save for later or keep coming back to.
Oh.
So it's a good one.
Great. Oh, that is good. Brilliant. Mm-hmm. I can see how that sort of feeds Instagram's understanding of whether to push your stuff to other people or not. Oh, great. I'm trying to...
Oh, the other thing about interaction is that, and this is a lovely social media trainer phrase, don't post and ghost. So once you've posted, you need to hang around a bit, because if somebody the interaction is important as soon as you've posted it, right? Mm. So if I post it and bog off and three people comment and I've not responded to that, and 8 hours later I go back and I respond to that, they're going, well, it's too bloody late.
That is the downside of scheduled posts, isn't it? I see that a bit on Twitter as well, like companies posting a question about podcasts or a question about voiceover, or a voiceover or podcast company posting like a really ordinary question about people's lives. And then there's like some comments and then nothing. It's just like clearly scheduled. There was one I remember seeing ages ago, and I won't name the company because I feel bad, but there was one post quite like after the first lockdown had started. And everyone was like feeling very upset about the pandemic and being trapped in their homes or having to work and go out into the world. There was some sort of Twitter post question that had been obviously scheduled months before about like, looking forward to going away on holiday, anybody? Or something like that. Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no.
Oh, cringe. Yeah. Somebody's getting fired.
Yeah, watch out, folks, if you're scheduling, because you never know what's going to happen.
Well, the other thing about scheduling is that all these platforms now, like I said earlier, favour native content. So if you're using Hootsuite or something and it sees that you're posting a Hootsuite, it's like, I don't care, you're not taking the time to come to me personally. So actually, you're better using the schedulers that are available within the social medias themselves. Like, so native content's important. Interacting as soon as your post has gone out is important. And also checking when your followers are active mostly is really important as well for the algorithm. So I can look at my insights in Instagram and it'll say between 9 and 12, approximately 200 of your followers will be active. Between 6 and 9 p.m., approximately 800 of your followers will be active. So when do I think I'm going to get the most interaction on my post? Between 6 and 9 p.m. So Brilliant. It's also about
knowing that. I've seen
that
on Twitter, because I know that you can set up Twitter activity on your tweets, and that is really useful.
Yeah, it is.
So how do you, well, people can Google it, I suppose, if they want to find out how to do Instagram. What did you call it?
Insights. Data. So Insights. It's just a little button underneath the if you go to your grid, it's a little button just between like your profile information and where your grid starts. It just says Insights.
Oh, great. Oh, I'll have a look. Very good. So I guess that's like when you want to post, because you just look at when people are online. But what about how often? You mentioned that this 3% thing has really stayed with me. So I understand that it needs to be more often than just every now and then, because people are missing it. But what would you say about how much you're posting?
Yeah, so I think this does change from platform to platform. Most of the experience I have is that Instagram, one post a day on Instagram is enough. But remember, if you're active on Instagram, you're not just doing one post. You'll probably do a story in that day as well, and maybe a reel. So one post will go up and stay on your grid and people can visit it whenever they want to. LinkedIn, apparently, I think one is okay. Don't quote me on that, though. when it comes to all the other ones, it's really about what you're comfortable with, I think, and what you can manage, because ultimately it's consistency. And if consistency for you is one a day, then just do one a day. What I would say about Twitter is that, like, it's very easy to just, like, Twitter's very easy to just share stuff over and over again. so it's maybe easier just to keep popping. If you've got something out, you might want to up your ante a wee bit and do something extra. Or if you're building up to something, then I would say that you could post a little bit more often. So if I've got a course coming up, for example, I'm going to gear all of my content towards whatever that course is going to be about and put a bit more out there so that I can get a bit. And a lot of it's about gauging what the audience wants and what they're into so that I can make the course better. Like, that's the amazing thing about social as well. You can use it for like research. So if I put a post out about an accent and I get 300 likes, I put a post out about laryngeal, like, I don't know, tension or something, and I get three likes, then if I'm trying to decide between laryngeal tension course or accent course, which one of those am I going to do next?
Handy.
Accent course. So yeah. It's really good for research as well in that sense, if you're in a service giving capacity. The one thing I just always bear in mind, and this is how I get over the whole, oh, share, I'm oversharing. Should I share it again? I don't know if I share too much. Is remembering, and I learned this yonks ago, and again, it may have changed, but this idea of like the 80-20 rule. So on all your socials, 80% engaging with conversation, talking to people, sharing other people's work you respect, asking questions, all that kind of stuff. 20% PS, this is what I'm up to. Now, I think Instagram is sometimes slightly different for that, because the way I use my Instagram is definitely offering value, but it's offering more value in the sense that here is the latest episode of my podcast that will be value to you. I'm not a voice coach who's got a voice tip every single day. That's not my free offering to the community. My free offering to the community is a massive group on Facebook which has loads of stuff, a podcast, two podcasts.
Well, yeah,
in fact,
the Voice Coach podcast is an incredible offering. Like, we should talk more about that, actually. It's let's just briefly mention it. If you don't already listen to Nick's The Voice Coach podcast, I recommend it so much. It's like having an actual voice coach in your actual pocket that you can refer back to when you want to remind yourself what a 5-minute warm-up would sound like, or whether you need to, if you're thinking about rehydration, you can't remember all the most recent up-to-date research into how to hydrate, like, you can just listen to that episode. Or if you want to do like a, how many parts is the breathing one, all about breath awareness? Oh my god, I'm so
far
excited about it. I've got that queued up ready to go about the breath awareness one. I'm really excited about that one. So we'll just take a moment here to just say the Voice Coach podcast, it's really, really worth it. Make sure you get hold of it and put it in your phone. Yeah, great.
Thanks.
Yeah, carry on.
Yeah, so the point is, Instagram probably for me doesn't feel quite 80-20. But in one sense, if I'm sharing an interview I've done on some, if someone's interviewed me on their podcast, then by sharing that I've been interviewed on their podcast, I'm also sharing their podcast.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it's about that kind of collaborative environment and that kind of supportive space. So 80-20 for me is like, so if we wanted to up the ante on the voiceover social Twitters, for example, because that's the one you like, I could say, right, why don't you this week, just for a boost, aim for 6 posts a day.
Ah.
Two of those linked to the podcast.
Okay.
Four of those, share somebody else's interesting thing.
Oh, yeah, fully here for that.
And you could also do 2 little responding to interesting threads that you think are nice, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just showing that you're busy on the platform, but you're not going, me. I remember this one voiceover person who obviously I won't name, it's you, Leah.
Can you imagine? This is an intervention.
Stop showing me your demo. There was just this one person who just posted their demo like over and over and over again.
Oh, no.
I was like, I don't want to see that. Even a potential client doesn't want to see that over and over and over again. It's just annoying.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got to really look at yourself. And the other thing I say as well is, and this is personal preference, and I appreciate that some political issues are linked to the arts, this arts cut stuff that's going on at the moment, that might be something that's actually pertinent and useful to share to your community. Anything to do with equity, for example, that's politically linked. I would keep politics and personal feuds out of it. So I don't want to see if you're having a back and forth with Currys because your dishwasher didn't arrive on time.
No, I agree. I agree entirely. Yeah.
And I don't really want to see if you've been to a particular protest at any particular time, but that might only be because it doesn't, and this is the point, it might be because it doesn't align with my personal views.
Mm.
And that is a very easy and quick way to alienate maybe a potential client.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's fair. You got to really question, like, if you're going to share that on Twitter, do you feel strongly enough about the thing that you're going on a protest about to not care about how it may affect your business? And if you don't care,
then great.
Yeah, great.
And there's lots of protests out there that are absolutely worthy, not caring whether you lose the clients. Like,
yeah,
if you lose a client, because you then that's fine. You probably didn't want them as a client in the first place. But I just think it's something that you do have to consolidate.
Okay. So about getting you work then? Let's be as specific as we can be, I suppose, about how social media platforms have got you work. And I know that on Twitter, that's for me, that's absolutely happened because I've followed people that employ voiceovers. I've engaged with them and I've developed relationships with those people over Twitter. And that has led directly to work as a voiceover. Having said that, it is quite difficult sometimes to work out who to follow on Twitter, because if you follow a big company on Twitter, then it's just some woman who's been brought in to do the work experience or something who's managing the Twitter account. Like, it's not necessarily going to be somebody who's in charge of employing people. What do you think about that? How's it got you work?
Yeah. So one of the main ways I've had work on Facebook, for example, is through personal recommendations. So if somebody, for voiceover, if somebody needs an Irish voice, most of the time, one or various people will put my name in there. And that's really useful. And that's worth it for having a Facebook on its own, you know? That happens a lot. And that's just because I'm on there to engage with my peers. That's me not even using that platform in that particular way to try and get work. That's just me being active, talking to people, having conversations with people, not about me sharing my work. It's just someone going, oh, I've seen her in Forum. She's Irish. Blah, blah, blah. You know, you've maybe met them at a networking event in the before days. and then you find them on Facebook. Twitter is like, you're right on Twitter. Big companies, like the person who runs Disney, the person who casts Disney isn't running the Disney account, but there are many casting directors who work at Disney hanging around on Twitter. So those are the sort of relationships that you want to cultivate. Those are the sort of relationships that you can... It's not you going, there's a Disney casting director. Hello, I'm so glad I found you. Here's my demo. Put me in the next Moana film.
God, no, please. Right.
It's them going, saying something and you going, la, 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 and like having a conversation with them like you would in real life, like in a normal way. So Twitter has been, I've had contacts for indie games mainly because they're the smaller companies. You tend to have someone from a smaller team who's either sat next to the person casting or is the person casting, and there's much more direct contact. So smaller companies like that are really good. LinkedIn has been good for me, like I said, for radio contacts, so radio adverts, that kind of thing. Also corporate narration. But again, it's not come because I've gone, here's my demo.
Right.
It's come because I've had a chat with somebody and eventually they've gone, actually, we need a voiceover, or we'd like to try using a voiceover, you know, or our last voiceover was from Fiverr and they were really awful. Can we use you instead? And then from a coaching point of view, I'm trying to think if I've had any voiceover work from Instagram yet. I don't think I have, but I think it's more a platform for my coaching, really. That's where I get most interaction anyway. And I get a lot of work. Coaching inquiries, people coming on courses, people coming into the community on Facebook and that sort of thing, and kind of finding their way then to the other stuff that I have on offer. So yeah, I've had direct one-to-one coaching sessions with people from meeting them on Instagram. But also Instagram is one of those platforms where people feel like they can reach out to you a little bit in a more casual way. And I think Instagram suits my personality quite well. So people feel like they can just drop and slide into my DMs.
Oh, God.
And be like, hi.
Where did that come from? Slide.
I know, it's gross, isn't it?
It does imply like some sort of lubricant is involved. Slide.
Well, I think it comes from a lot of greasy people sliding in going, hello, you pretty, I marry you.
Yes, yes.
Blah. Which you have to put up with.
Yeah, I don't. Luckily, that's not happened to me. I think that's because I'm so unengaged with Instagram. Maybe that's something I can look forward to. Great. Well, I've been Leah Marks.
I've been at Nick Red Voice on Instagram, Redman.
And we are the Voiceover Social.
The Voiceover Social.
And we are at the Voiceover Social. No, and we are at the VO Social. Oh,
step
dear.
One, know your own handles. Together till the end of the road. Shine online, you're gonna shine online. Shine online, you're gonna shine online. Shine online. You're gonna shine online.